don't marry thinking you will change this kind of behavior.
Yeah.
People don't usually change that much.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that anything you don't like about the man you marry was there when you were dating him. You just didn't really think about it seriously or told yourself you didn't mind. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am your co-host, Erica Spera.
And I'm Molly DeMillier.
And we are going to be diving into a rules chapter today.
Yes.
It's just us two gals. We're happy to be back in the studio.
Yeah. This is the quarantine files, baby.
Yeah.
We are on lockdown in New York City, surviving.
Oh, yeah. So this is for sure the time right into the podcast. Give us a suggestion of something you want us to watch, read, check out, talk about on the pod.
All we got is time.
Yeah, we got a lot of time. I got a lot of shows that are canceled. Molly's working from home. We got a lot to fill in the gaps.
Yeah. Share this with a friend right now, too, who might need something to do.
Yeah, or is lonely.
Yeah.
Feels like you're hanging out with your best two gal pals.
Yeah.
So, if you have any suggestions, you can DM us on Instagram at shootersgottashootpod or email us shootersgottashootpod@gmail.com.
The information made it simple for you.
Is below. Yeah, we made it the same across all platforms.
Yeah.
For
you. We do this for you.
And leave a review if you haven't left a review. My God, we're so close to giving away money.
What do we need, like 10 more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 more.
Jesus.
10 more. Could be you.
Could be you getting the 300.
Could be you.
Yeah.
Just throw 5 stars. Throw something. And I don't know. Other than that, I think we're just going to get into it.
Let's do it.
Extra episodes. If you want extra episodes, patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. We have, I believe, 12 out.
Yeah,
now.
They're 12 juicy.
Extra episodes, and we're almost going to be doing one per week. But yeah, we need your help to get to that goal of hitting one extra episode.
And what is
week.
It? $5 a month?
So it's either $500 a month or 100 patrons.
No, for them to get the content.
Oh,
it's
my bad.
$5 a
month.
Oh,
yeah, it's not 500. It's $5. It's $5.
For $500 a month, you can hear this all you want.
It's $5.
Yeah. That's like less than a roll of toilet paper these days.
Yeah, it's less than Netflix, too.
Yeah.
And all that stuff.
Hey, so. I ride for Netflix. They are a client of mine.
Yeah, I mean, keep watching Netflix.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Watch Taylor Tomlinson special, actually. She's a good buddy of mine and genuinely one of the best Netflix specials I've seen.
And we're for sure going to get her on here sometime.
Yeah,
so,
she's supposed to do the pub, but she's stuck in LA now because no one can travel.
Yeah, so check it out. Get to know her a little bit before we have her on. Get some questions ready.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. All right, we're going to get right into this.
Let's do it.
Okay, so today we're going to be doing a chapter from the rules. So basically, the rules according to Erica and Molly. Now, today we're doing chapter 17, which is actually a little bit of the game we're going to play.
Ooh, I like games.
It is called Buyer Beware. So this chapter has given us a couple scenarios. And then it says the buyer beware of the scenarios within dating.
Role play.
So before we get into that, we'll just give you a little bit of background on it. And we're going to be basically guessing what the buyer beware is.
Okay.
Okay. So the background of this chapter is love may be blind, but rules girls are not stupid. In addition to doing the rules, you should be observing his behavior in various situations to decide if he's right for you.
I agree with that.
I agree, too.
I feel like they're implying blind people are stupid, but I don't agree with that.
Oh, no. I mean, the warning is basically, don't marry thinking you will change this kind of behavior.
Yeah.
People don't usually change that much.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that anything you don't like about the man you marry was there when you were dating him. You just didn't really think about it seriously or told yourself you didn't mind.
I agree with that on a few levels.
Well,
or like to an extent, because I think there are things that, like, okay, say you're married to someone for 40 years, you know, like there's going to be not only things that change, but just like things that come up later on in life, like kids or things that like you just haven't encountered together and you didn't have a chance to, you know, get to know them on that level about until after you're married, just because like they're not scenarios that you're in.
Right. I mean, I've found like, through the years of dating, of just getting older, so it's like I was always dating around my age range.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like, okay, we're approaching 30, so like going on a date with someone that's 30, it's like it's more common that someone will ask a question that is I guess, more serious of like, oh, do you want to get married someday? Do you want to have kids? Because it's like, yeah, that stuff doesn't really change.
Yeah, it's not like, what classes are you taking this semester? You know?
What do you want to be when you grow up? Type of thing. Yeah, it says right here, if something doesn't feel right to you about a man, it probably isn't.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to be miserable and full of regrets later on, you have to pay attention now.
That's like, trust your gut.
Yeah. I mean, basically this chapter is kind of piggybacking right off the like non-negotiables we just talked about.
Mm-hmm. Which we did on our Patreon this week.
Yes, it's on Patreon. From Getting to I Do. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially, that list will make you be a little bit better in these scenarios of like, hey, this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? What are the precautions going further?
Yeah. And how does it line up with what you've already set out that you want, or like told yourself that you want from a relationship?
Like, one of these questions made me think of actually a non-negotiable I forgot. Mm-hmm. Which is, does he drink or smoke too much? And I was like, oh yeah, I don't want someone that's a big drinker. And also, I don't think I could ever be with someone that smokes cigarettes or the Juul thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't. I feel like I've been with friends literally doing gigs that are comedians mm-hmm. that like constantly have to have a cigarette and take a break.
Yeah.
And like stop the car and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, this would drive me insane.
Yeah, that's tough. I had a lot of friends in college who smoked.
That's commonly when people pick it up. Yeah. Most people pick it up while drinking.
Yeah. And it didn't really bother me like that much. So I actually don't know how I would be in a relationship. I think at some point it would get old.
Well, like, also, I can't stand the smell of smoke.
Oh, see,
so
I kind
of like
cigarettes.
So if the person smells
like
smoke all the time, I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
Like, I hate when I come home from a bonfire and my hair smells like bonfire.
Oh,
but
see,
I kind of
like the bonfire smell.
I like it, but like that's laying on a pillow and I just smell it in my hair, it drives me crazy.
It's being raised in the woods, baby. That's all we got.
Right?
Oh, you can light it on fire? Nice.
All right. So it actually addresses some of the things that we were annoyed with from this book in this chapter.
Okay.
Which I appreciate. Right? All right. Basically, our annoyances of when it says, when we told you to, quote, be quiet and mysterious, act ladylike, and cross your legs and smile and don't talk so much on the first few dates. We did not mean that you shouldn't think. However, they're like, we didn't mean you were an idiot.
Yeah.
All right. But it breaks down why it tells you that. We told you this for two reasons. A, so you don't tell him your whole life story too soon and live to regret it. And equally as important, B, so you listen. The less you talk, the more you can hear and pick up clues if he's right for you.
Yeah.
Which is true, I think, because men are also trained, like, ask questions on the date, get the girl to talk.
Yeah.
And this is basically being like, hey, you should also be doing that to that person.
Do you think, though, in sometimes of, like, taking the back seat, especially in the beginning, because we've been told that, like, the way you enter a relationship is kind of like the role that you take. So, like, with that mindset, in taking the back seat and, like, being quieter and, like, not really seeming to like have an opinion on things, do you think that one, like, it sets you up for that, but then two, give off the perception that you're not someone who's thinking? Because I think obviously, like, you're not an idiot when you're going on these dates, you're like thinking about what they're saying, but like, do you think you're giving off the perception to the guy that like, that you're not an intellectual person because like you're being told not to have these conversations on these deeper levels?
I don't know, because I've been around people that don't talk a lot, but you can tell that they're very smart.
Yeah, that's true.
So if anything, sometimes I think the people that talk less come off smarter.
Yeah, because you're like, what's going on in there?
Right. Or it's just, I mean, it's a little bit of a confidence thing of like, you know, there's some people that it's like they're always on and they always want to dominate the conversation and like be like, look at me kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that comes off more insecure than someone that's just more reserved.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, I talk when I have something to say.
Yeah.
I don't need to just chat.
Right.
But also, some people with the questions they ask, they come off very smart just because they're listening.
Yeah,
and they're
that's
asking
true.
Good questions.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, like, there's a way to show you know about a subject by the questions you ask.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't think it's telling you to come off stupid. I think it is true of just like women talk more.
Yeah.
So it's kind of being like, hey, you don't have to put everything out there right away. Yeah. Just be a little bit more reserved.
Okay.
All right. You want to get into some of these dilemmas?
Hell yeah. All
right. Let's do a short one to start. Dilemma. He's exciting and debonair, but he has a dark side. You heard him scream at his family, his friends, and even business associates. What is the buyer beware?
I have to guess what this the problem this could be down the line.
Yeah, like what is this a warning of?
Oh God. I mean, just that he could snap at small things. Like, if he's yelling, if that's his reaction is just to scream at people, like, that's not good.
Right.
Like, what'd it say? Like, waiters and business associates and family?
It says his family, his friends, and even business associates.
Yeah, I think that's just, like, that's just a total disregard for people. And just, like, kind of, like, emotionally out of touch and, like, irrational.
Yeah, I wouldn't say emotionally out of touch. I think it's just more, it's almost like their go-to emotion is anger.
Yeah.
They're more likely to get mad about something before they, like, sit and think about it.
Yeah, and, like, at some point, that's going to be at you.
Yeah.
Like, when the honeymoon phase is over. Or when all those people stop talking to him and, like, you're the only one who's talking. Like, because if someone screams at you all the time, like, you're not going to entertain those conversations until, so then it's just going to be you left because you got a rock.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he's going to yell at you. And that's not a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, I feel like I think we talked about this on a previous episode. I said, I'm not a yeller.
Yeah, same.
Like, I will, like, become calm and I'll just be very, like, straightforward and emotionless.
Yeah.
So, what is the buyer beware?
Yeah, all what right. did the doctors
Let's check
say?
How we did. These ones are not doctors. Oh, good. These are just two women that married well. They're sharing the secrets their mother told them.
They probably married doctors.
Yeah, probably. Wonder what they look like though. All right. Okay. The buyer beware. He may yell or be violent towards you or your children.
Oh, I didn't even think about the violence thing. Like,
right. I mean, violence, I think it maybe is a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But it's basically being like he's leaning more on the violent side than not.
Yeah.
Especially like if you really feel like it's dark. There's one thing of, like, I'll say this, all right? Angela might not like it, but Angela's a yeller, okay? She's not a yeller immediately. She has a very long fuse. But like, all of a sudden, if it's, like, no one's been listening to her all day, that fuse is going to blow up, right?
Yeah.
But when she has yelled, I'm not like, whoa, dark side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's just, like, she just literally is saying the same thing but raising her voice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I grew up in an Irish Catholic house. We got some Irish tempers that are just, they're quick, and you say what's on your mind, then it's done.
Right. Exactly.
But if this is someone who's got demons that are coming out.
Yeah, like where you feel like a real flip.
That's someone who needs help.
Right. Yeah. Like my mom literally yells and goes, why is it that no one does it till I yell?
Yeah. Oh my God. I've heard that line before. Why do I gotta yell? I don't know. You're the one who's doing it.
Oh, no one moves till I get mad.
I don't control the volume of your mouth.
All right. So I guess we nailed that one. Boom, boom, boom.
Would it like freak you out or like what would your reaction be if you heard a significant other yelling at his family?
Okay, that I actually there's something to I've been yelled at my mother. I mean, sorry, I've been yelled at by my mom.
Yeah,
plenty of times. Yeah. Okay, even my dad, a rare few. My dad's a little bit more calm because he'll just take something away as opposed to yell. He's just like punishment immediately. You're like, whoa. Usually mom yells a minute and then we have a chance.
I just said hello. I'm in a bad mood.
I'm like, we get three times with mom. We only got one time with you. That's not fair. That was the worst. Actually, can I share this?
Yeah.
So my dad's the type to just like punish immediately. He has no patience, right? But once my brother and I got grounded, we both lied about where we went. We were like at a party and I said I was going to a friend's or something. Uh-huh. And he came home drunk and I was clearly drunk at this party and there were boys also staying over. So that's mainly why I got in trouble. Even though my dad called me, I was drunk. I was like, I'm in the girl tent. He's like, what? I thought you were at Jordan's. I was like, what? Anyway.
She got tits.
So I technically got, I know, right? Nah, I'm with a bunch of boobs. It's fine. I got home and he was like, well, you're grounded, right? But my dad would work all day, so I could take the car anywhere I wanted during the day. I would just have to fill up the gas so it was back to where it was, in case he noticed. But he didn't. And I went to the Syracuse Mall one of these days. And
which is, like, here, very far.
Right. It's an hour. That's hard. That's far for a high school kid.
Like, but I was just like, on the gas.
Yeah, I was like, mom's out of town. You're not home till what time? 7? I got time.
I'm going shopping.
If anything, I woke up early that day. So I was very productive. But my punishment for my dad was, like, you're grounded. But then every night he'd come home, like, what do you guys want to do? You want to go to a movie? I was like, I thought we're grounded. He's like, oh, well, you can hang out with me. So my punishment was just like, oh, I guess I just hang with my dad all week.
It was very fun.
Yeah, I was like, he was basically like, wait, if you're grounded, that means I'm grounded? That's not fair. Like, I was going out to dinner. I was like, yeah, this really isn't that bad. Mom would be making me do like a math book or something. Anyway. yeah, so that's another, I guess, buyer beware, maybe. If you're marrying a large child, he will be a child.
Yeah.
You might have to ground him sometimes.
You control the punishments.
Pretty much. But that wasn't that bad. I even think one of the times we went to the movie, we picked up my friend on the way. He was like, call Chelsea, we'll pick her up. I was like, really? He's like, you're with me, it's fine.
It counts.
Oh, that, and one time my brother was technically grounded when I wasn't in trouble, and they told him, okay, you're grounded, you can't leave the house. Uh-huh. My mom wasn't in town at this time. I come home from practice with my dad. There's a bunch of cars at the house. And I'm like, what are all these cars? And my dad just goes, oh, Marcus has some people over. I was like, I thought Marcus was grounded. He's like, well, we told him he couldn't leave, and then I guess he invited people over. I looked at my dad and I went, oh, so when I'm grounded, that means I could just have a party here. I could have a party here. But mainly, you know, my dad's heart. We have a little court in the backyard. They were playing basketball. And my dad's like, no, this is allowed. They can play basketball because I like basketball.
That's if they hard were, work out there.
Yeah, if they were playing soccer on the court, he'd shut down the party.
Oh, yeah.
He would turn off the power to the lights and be like, everyone needs to go home.
Burn all the soccer balls. Yeah.
He would throw them down the large hill and be like, you could go play soccer at someone else's house.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you can't leave.
Yeah. You guys gonna, you want to play basketball? Come on over. Anyway, so if there's any, I guess, children listening to this podcast that are grounded, listen to specifically the punishments. You might find a loophole somewhere.
Oh, there's always a loophole.
I mean, my brother really, he could have been a lawyer, man. Smart kid. Yeah. Smart kid. All right. Let's do another dilemma. All right. Dilemma number two. You think you've found Mr. Right, except that he'd rather read the newspaper or work on the computer than have sex with you most weeknights and even Sunday mornings.
Even Sunday
even
mornings?
Even Sunday mornings.
Oh, my God.
Yo, the Lord's Day. Who's not fucking?
Quickie before church.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's why we're ready to go to church. We just sinned. Sorry, that's so weird. It's Sunday morning.
Even Sundays.
It's like, you know your routine Sunday morning. Bang.
Bang and pancakes and out the door.
I'm like, maybe it's implying no one's working on Sunday. I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay. All right, so it goes, now that you're reading this chapter, you remember that he was always a little too intellectual for your taste. You wished he were more passionate, not so cerebral. So what do we think the buyer beware is?
That you're going to have a shitty sex life in your marriage. Yeah, and, like, not feel wanted.
Yeah.
Because it's also, like, those activities that it's talking about aren't, like, shared things.
Right.
Because, like, it's something if, like, you get up and, like, you have your thing that you do together that, like, you're sharing something. Like, every Sunday morning doesn't need to be about fucking, right?
Right. It could be something.
Yeah.
Something you have together.
Right.
Like, even, you know, we just shit on the church thing. But it's like, hey, I mean, I guess that could be something that's, you know, you're both religious of whatever your religion is. Mm-hmm. You know, it says Sunday, but, you know, Jews listening could be Saturday temple or whatever.
The Sabbath.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Could be the Sabbath or the Friday. I don't really know what you guys do, but whatever your religious thing is, even if it was like meditating. I don't know. If it was like, oh, we meditate in the morning and like we have like, you know, house quiet time.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell. Indirectly, you're kind of doing that with someone, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Those are all activities. What was reading the newspaper and...
like work, right?
Playing on the computer. I mean, I guess you technically could with them, just over their shoulder. What are we reading?
Yeah.
Type of thing.
What a headline.
Yeah. I guess they're, quote, more introverted activities.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, that's something you're not doing with them.
Yeah.
And you feel like, it's specifically saying sex, but it's like, you know, it could even be like, cuddling, I guess.
Yeah.
Or just talking to you. I don't know. And it just, yeah, it's like a disconnect of like, okay, you're doing something that I'm not involved in at all.
Right.
Which is okay to have your own things.
Yeah. Like we definitely, I think we talked about this on the Patreon or like in another episode of like, you definitely should have your own things. But I think also the timing that they talk about is really important in this of like, they're implying like night and like a leisure morning, they're choosing isolate themselves in something, and it's saying like they're the time, like there's a finite amount of time in every day, 24 hours, like not that much time, and you spend like a good chunk of it at work, a good chunk of it sleeping, like you have a finite amount of time with your partner to spend and like have those intimate moments
where you're both like off.
Yes. And it's saying that
You're both off, but you're not getting off.
Yeah, yeah.
That's basically what this is saying.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, who's got time for that? Mama's got needs. Yeah. You know? Well, I was going to say, I think this would be even more infuriating Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine, like, Saturday night being like, oh, yeah, he'd rather be reading the newspaper or on the computer.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, eat dinner with you or, or hooking up, having sex.
Yeah.
I guess this is partly, I think, a personality thing a little bit. Basically, I almost feel like this is being like, don't be with someone that has a lower sex drive than you. And especially it's written at a time that it wasn't really, I don't want to say that it wasn't okay, but it was less common for a woman to initiate really any physical stuff.
Yeah.
But I think this is basically being like, hey, if you are going to be initiating in the future, you're going to be dealing now with rejection because this person would rather do other things than be physical with you.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's see. Buyer beware. All right. The answer is, this will be a problem in your marriage if sex and passion are important to you. I feel like this is a very vague buyer beware.
Yeah.
But I think it's basically saying, I think it's indirectly being like, if you feel like you're the one kind of being like, hey, don't you want to have sex sometimes, that you might just feel unwanted.
Yeah, and I think it's saying that, like, your connection will be lost. Because, like, I mean, as much as a relationship should be more than sex, like, sex is such a big part of your connection to that person.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And, like, if you're not having it and you feel rejected by them when you try, like, that is just gonna, like, cause a lot of separation or feelings of, like, not connecting on then even being able to converse, because it's like, okay, like, if this thing is wrong, like, you can kind of go in a spiral, I feel like, of like, oh my god, like, what is happening with our relationship,
right? Like, am I doing something somewhere else,
yes,
that is making them not want to be physical with me?
Yeah.
Or even just like intimate in some way.
Yeah.
Because I was gonna say, this is one I think is a two-way street.
I feel like
if anything, you know, in like movies and, you know, all the stuff we like see in the media, there's constantly this thing of men being like, oh yeah, I was in the mood and she said she had a headache.
Yeah.
Like, basically it's like, I feel like a lot of men, that's one of their big complaints being in a marriage. It's like, oh, we don't have sex as much as we used to.
Mm-hmm.
Or the whole like, yeah, I try and she just doesn't want to, like, oh, she's tired and no.
I think that's an interesting point you bring up though about like movies and the media in general, but I feel like we're just so trained as women or just a society to think that men are just animals and like always want a bone. And
yeah,
like, it's important to understand that like sometimes they don't. And especially as they get older, like their sex drive dies. Goes down.
Yeah, it dies
it's like,
down.
God, they just figured it out and like how to make it good and they don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, man, their sexual peak is literally at like 15, 16.
It's so
where
annoying.
Where they just get boners all the time.
Yeah.
And then the opposite is for women, actually, is approaching 30.
Yeah.
That's mainly why women have that settled down things. Your body's being like, give me a baby.
Yeah, put something in here.
Give me a baby right now.
Your body just turns into a factory and starts pumping out workers.
Exactly. Like, Dulce Sloan has a great bit. It's on her Instagram. Go check it out. It was from her half hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it said something of like, oh, you thought you were horny in your 20s. And she goes, oh, I'm in my 30s. I'm looking for a mate. Like, she's like, I'm looking for someone to mate for life with. This ain't about horniness anymore. Like, you didn't even know. Like, she was like, no one told me when I was 20, but I didn't even know what was coming.
Oh, like, dear God.
I was like, woo. God bless. Yeah, woo, we're reaching that. All right. Let's do another dilemma. Okay. Dilemma number 3. He's very good looking, personable, and a ton of fun, but not as deep as you would like him to be. You are a serious reader, you tend to be analytical, and you are into yoga and meditation. He likes action sports, such as tennis and basketball.
Action,
I'm sorry,
tennis.
I mean, we led with tennis on that. That was a little...
He likes action. He watches competitive chess.
This is also like, listen, tennis is one of the only sports that actually has been equally women and men.
Yeah.
Since the get-go of like how many people watch those matches.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, for you to basically pick a sport that most likely women at this time were playing is a little ridiculous.
But
it's
also, like, this is like my buyer beware. Be wary of the tennis, like, phenons, because my ex was like a huge tennis fan.
Wait, what?
Like, the people who are super into it. Because, like, he still does this, I think. Like, if there's a tournament being played internationally, and say the time that it's on in the U.S. is, like, 3 a.m., he gets up in the middle of the night and watches this stupid tennis tournament.
Wait, this is also soccer, though, too.
Yeah.
They're, like huge soccer fans will be, like, yeah, up mad early.
Yeah, or, like, watching it at crazy times of the night. I'm like, you are insane.
That's so
funny.
This
is why you do so much cocaine.
I thought they only really put, this sounds messed up, but it's, like, there's a big tournament, like, what, Australia?
I don't know. Australia's one.
Yeah. There's one in London, I know. Wimbledon, right?
Yeah.
I believe Paris. There's an Australia one. But probably, it's like, I feel like they do make it that, like, the people that are the most popularly watched in the U.S., literally they'll schedule them at a time that it's decent to watch.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Like, I'm like, who's playing tennis at 3 a.m.?
No, he watches everybody. He watches the whole thing.
All right. Well, that's a personal thing that might bother you. I guess someone else it wouldn't. It would bother me if, like, you're turning the TV on, I'm sleeping in your bed, and it's 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, buddy, go to the living room.
Yeah. That's... Well, like, no, because then you're getting in and out of bed.
Yeah. I just like that it's an action sport. Funny, still didn't mention soccer. All right, and then the dilemma ends with you want to have soulful discussions. He's more pragmatic.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do we think the buyer beware is of the situation? Aside from, I guess, your ex tennis man.
Ooh, I know the buyer beware. I lived it. No, I think part of this is saying that, like, looks fade, so like you don't want to just go to someone that like you're physically attracted with, because it's like he's like a really hot, attractive, fun guy. It's like, okay, those qualities as you get older fade, and like if you don't have something to connect on, what is there?
Yeah, I don't even think it's necessarily saying they're fading, because the situation it's giving you is basically being like, hey, right now he's great looking, but you don't feel like you could have a real conversation with them.
Yeah, but I'm also talking about like the super, super fun things. So I think about like right now, the like what in New York you would call like the Murray Chill dude, like the finance bros who live in Murray Hill, you know?
I've never heard that, Murray Chill. Oh.
They're really fun. They're super hot. They're like good finance bros. They're a good time. But 10 years from now, it's like, what do you likely have to connect with that person on? Of like, they just like to like get rowdy, like have a good time, and they're really attractive. It's like, okay, when all those things change 10 years down the line,
yeah,
and everyone's like settled down, you know, you're not just like going out and like partying all the time, maybe they put on some weight, like, because they're not going to the gym all the time, like, what else is there?
Mm. Well, I was gonna say, also finance bros really like math, and that's not your thing.
I fucking hate math.
Because I was gonna say, perks of a finance bro, they tend to be actually proficient in Microsoft Excel.
Yeah, they're pretty good at Excel.
Like Iris, my BFF Iris that worked finance, upon working there, they took away her mouse for her first couple of weeks and basically were like, you can do your whole job without a mouse. Figure it out. Like, it's almost like an initiation, like a frat.
That's nuts.
Right, but I've watched her work a spreadsheet with just the keys. Dude, it's impressive.
That's nuts.
I was like, can you do all my spreadsheets for me? Like, I was like, can you teach me your ways? And then she was just like, they literally took away my mouse. I had to watch other people and what keys they were hitting and figure it out.
That's insane.
Like the hardest video game. You know how many keys there are on a keyboard?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, basically if you're, you know, you go on a couple dates with someone, it's like always like the conversation's first light and whatnot. And obviously attraction is part of like being into somebody. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's basically like, okay, so after a handful of dates, it's like, okay, what do we talk about now?
Yeah.
Like that was one of the things I really liked about Ace Benedict, was like, we often would talk on the phone at night, but it wouldn't be a lot of like mundane bullshit.
Yeah.
Like there was once I was home, I think it was holidays, I was home. We were on the phone and something of Angela Spear was getting a little jealous of like, who's she talking to on the phone? She doesn't talk to me then. Like she walked by once, like peeked in and then like came back and sat in and she thought I was talking to Iris. I just remember we were getting on the phone and then Ex Benedict said, oh, we were having such a great discussion. But there was something of like, yeah, like we could continue this another time.
Yeah.
So I basically, basically it's like it mentioned like if you're a big reader.
Yeah.
That, like, even more so, it's basically like, okay, if you love to read and you want to talk to your partner about the book you just read and they have zero interest in hearing what you said, it also is just, like, a little hurtful.
Yeah.
It's basically being like, whatever you're into, if you feel like you can't talk to that person about it, whether it's, like, more philosophical things or... It'd even be, like, if you're a big reality TV person and you have someone that's like, I can't stand reality TV or, like, I guess makes you feel less than because that's what you like.
Yeah, it's like, that's no good.
Right. I think it's just basically like, I think it's mostly what you said of like, hey, looks aren't forever and who's the actual person you're with?
Yeah.
And do you connect with them on a intellectual level?
Yeah. This also reminded me of, I think sometimes when you're like younger and especially in a city like New York, a big thing around dating is like going out
yeah.
and drinking a lot. And so it's like, okay, like if you're just drinking a lot with your partner and you feel like
you're
having just like a really, really good time, like try and do something that like you're not drinking with them at.
Yeah.
And see if like you connect, because I think sometimes that can like mask it a little bit of like, oh my God, I just had a blast. It's like you were hammered. You would have had a blast in a phone booth, you know?
Well, that's like, I had a date the other week that was okay, and then I got drunk, and then I was like, now it's a great time. And it's like the person, you know, just it was fine. It's not like they were a bad person, but I suddenly had way more fun being a little drunk,
because everything that's like kind of fun is fucking awesome when you're hammered.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like
there's something that's like anything that's already fun if you drink becomes more fun.
Yeah,
anything that's not fun and you smoke weed now is fun.
Yeah,
is like a there's like a balance to it.
Yeah,
anyway, but it was something that I later was like, yeah, that was, you didn't like that person. You had a good time.
Yeah,
but you, I was like, I don't care if I see this person
right
again.
Right.
That is so true. Because I was gonna say, even if it's not like drinking, because I have plenty of sober friends.
Yeah.
But it's like, say whatever activity you're doing, or like, you know, people that are maybe very outdoorsy, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it's someone that they like were in a hiking group with and they start dating. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, if you keep doing the thing you both like together, that's great. But it would be interesting to be like, let's do a different activity and see how we mesh.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I think is a great relationship test?
What?
How you go through museums.
Oh,
so specifically because I remember one of my BFFs from high school came to visit, and her and her boyfriend came,
mm-hmm.
and I just was like, we were walking around, I was showing them some stuff, so we went to the New York Public Library, right? Like, I was like, it's beautiful, it's really cool to see, we were right by it, but I'm like, oh, quick stop.
Yeah.
These two motherfuckers stop and read every little standing description thing.
No.
And I was there actually with Iris, mm-hmm. and I remember looking at Iris like, well, they're a good match. But like Iris and I were like, yo, let's move.
Yeah.
Like, I don't got to read every description of like we took so long to even get to the main room. That's just cool. Like I was just like, this is in movies. Isn't it cool? You know, like,
oh, I love that as a test. Cause actually, me and, one of my BFFs, Bella, who I talk about all the time on this, and like we travel together. So we've obviously been to a ton of museums together in our travels, and we're very different and have like different things that we would want to see in like
a
museum, or like sometimes like one of us picks it out, the other one has no idea what it is. We break off and do our own thing, and we'll like kind of run into each other in a room, be like, oh, like, did you see this thing? Do you see that one?
Yeah.
It's like, because sometimes it's a little like anxiety invoking if like someone is like watching you like read a plaque, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I forgot how to read, like, what's happening?
Or you're like, they're done before you. You're like, wow, I guess you read really fast.
It's like, oh, I am dumb, like, damn it.
Wait, can I tell you something else? Anytime I've been on like a tour at my mom somewhere, and it's like you get the little headphone things that you listen. I've had my mom, we were on a bus tour in like London, tap me, pull the ear thing, she's like, tap me, and then tells me what they just said. I'm wearing the headphones. She's like, did you hear they said da-da? I'm like, I'm listening to it, I'm right here listening, I have the headphones in.
My mom does,
she's
shit
like, well,
like
I didn't
that
know
too.
If you missed it.
That's like going to a live show with someone too, because my mom,
oh my God,
I'll never forget this. We got Seinfeld tickets for my dad for his birthday or something, and my brother was sitting next to my mom, and she's someone who during a show will like talk through the whole thing, like especially like during comedy, she'll like make a comment about the joke, be like, oh my God, like that reminds me, and my brother's like, it's not fucking story time, like it's Jerry Seinfeld's time.
We are listening to Jerry.
Yeah,
that's so funny. Yeah, I mean, like especially comedy things, a lot of times it's the bump, you just go, oh, that's so true, and like that's okay.
Yeah,
any other stories, save it for later.
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
Okay, so the buyer beware of the scenario. Is this will be a problem if you like to have philosophical conversations with your mate. Just know that he may ask you to have breakfast with him or play tennis when you're in the middle of yoga or meditating. What?
I don't think that's a great...
I don't understand the when you're in the middle of yoga or meditating.
I think it's kind of thinking of like yoga a bit differently than we do today.
It's being like, you know, those people that do yoga that are very philosophical.
Yeah, it's like we go to Y7. We listen to like Missy Elliott while we flow.
Yeah, I think it's just more emphasizing the part that it says like that he's not as deep as you would like him to be.
Yeah.
Like the people you maybe are just kind of like, hey, man, have you ever thought about this? Like something that maybe is a deeper thought, or even like kind of like a dark thought, maybe, like, yeah, even like conversing of like, what do you think happens when we die? And if someone's just like, I don't know,
one day we'll find out.
I don't know, I don't like to talk about those things. La, 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 la,
want to play tennis?
Yeah. Death, ooh, I don't know, want to play tennis?
Like, we're not saying he's got to read Plato, but like can just be able to converse, I think, on a deeper level than like sports stats only,
right?
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if this Buyer Beware really explains it. I think we explained it better.
Yeah, I think so too.
Dumb book.
Let's send them a rewrite.
Maybe change your thing. Okay, let's do one more of these type of dilemmas.
Okay.
All right, dilemma. We're on number 4.
Yeah.
Dilemma number 4. He loves you, but is often a drop annoyed by your close girlfriends, your family, and any man who pays too much attention to you. He gets angry if you don't tell him everything or include him in everything. Ooh, what a catch 22 if he's annoyed with your friends and family and then you don't include him in those things.
Yeah.
That would drive me crazy if someone was like, ugh, your friends are so annoying. And then I was like, going out with the girls. He's like, oh, I can't come. It's like, I was like, well, you fucking don't like her, so why would I invite you?
That's someone who I think is just pretty insecure into one of those people who will just never be happy. Yeah. You know those ones where you're like, you present any kind of a scenario and they're like just annoyed about everything. And you're like, well, all right, what? I guess I'll just go fuck myself. Like, I couldn't win here.
They hate every option and offer no solution.
Yes.
You're like, okay, well, what do you want to do?
Those people are just toxic. Like, you're never going to make them happy. And I think because of that, like, if you're someone who is very invested in this person, like, you're in a relationship, you're probably in love with them.
Right.
Hopefully.
Especially they're meeting friends and family kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you're at that stage. Yeah.
I think that's going to turn into kind of like backfire on you of like, then you're never going to be happy. Because like in a relationship, you want to make your partner happy. Like you want to do those things. It's like if nothing you're doing and is making them happy and they're not presenting solutions, it's like exhausting of like, okay, then now I just feel defeated.
Mm. Or you feel like you have to choose.
Yeah.
That's the worst of like, oh, we're all going out for so-and-so's birthday. And he's like, well, I don't want to go. I wanted to go to this thing with you. And you're like, okay, well, now I'm being a bad friend.
Yeah.
And I'm choosing hang out with my boyfriend over my friend.
Yeah.
Who I probably don't see as often as my boyfriend or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, this basically makes me think of like, okay, if you're to marry this person and be there forever, they're always going to be miserable at whatever event you bring them to that wasn't their circle event.
Yeah.
Like, it would drive me insane to be like, I bring you to a family hang, party, whatever it is, and you're this miserable bitch in the corner, and then you to your family thing, and I'm nice, I'm talking to everybody, I'm, you know, even if I'm not happy to be there, pretending I'm happy to
be there. Yeah, I'm not gonna be
like,
a bitch.
Just being a pleasant time.
Yeah.
And the fact that you are miserable around my family, and I show joy around your family, is infuriating.
Yeah.
Like, I would be, like, you know, essentially sit there being like, then stay home.
It's embarrassing and it's disrespectful to the other people in the room.
Yeah.
Of like, they put on an event, it's like, okay, like, we're in an age of like, when we go quote unquote home, like, that's going back to my parents' house now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, it's my home, my childhood home, but like, that would be their event, their party. If I just bring in this, like, problem that is uncomfortable for everybody, like
this wet blanket,
yeah, that's just rude. And
yeah, like, it's the same with like, you have friends that you're like, yeah, you don't like very social situations, so I'm not bringing you,
right? Or like, you don't like this friend group, it's like, all right, well then like, you're not gonna get invited anymore,
right?
And like, this is really bad to say, but like, divorce rates are about 50%, right?
Uh-huh.
So really good friends, family, the people who have been in your life forever, they're the ones who were there before that person, and they're going to be, you want to be sure, like, they're going to be there after. And it's like, you burn all the bridges with those people,
yeah,
like, okay, obviously this person doesn't care about you enough to like keep those people in your life that are important to you. So why does anything else in your life really matter to them? So like, if you lose them, then like, you got to mend all these bridges because of this person. Like,
yeah,
fuck that.
Right. Exactly. Right. Because it's like, you can't blame the friend that you basically lost touch with for not really being there for you when things end.
Yeah.
And I think women are more so about this, of like, men are asking people to be in their weddings that like, they're like, oh no, I talk to them once a year.
Yeah.
Like, kind of thing. and women are often type to be like, I haven't heard from you in 2 months. And it's like, oh, I'm busy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, so I think it kind of varies based on the friendship. Like, yeah,
two full moons. Come on.
My two best friends from high school are very, I don't talk to them super often or see them often. But the minute I do, like, we're on the phone an hour catching up. It's like nothing passed.
Yeah.
But it's because it's like, yeah, because they're also driven and have their own stuff going on.
Right.
So they're not sitting there being like, why haven't I heard from so-and-so? What a bad friend.
Yeah.
But there are other friends that are more needy and would be the type to be like, hey, I haven't really heard from you, or you've made no effort to hang out with me. And I think that also just partly depends on, like, your proximity to them.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it would be weird if you're considered my friend and we both live in New York and I haven't seen you in 6 months or heard from you at all.
Right.
It's like, all right, that's a little,
right,
a little weird.
What would you do if you were with someone who, like, didn't like your friends and, like, was very vocal about it?
All right, you want to hear my theory?
Yeah.
I think it's very rare that your significant other loves your friends.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Or especially all of them.
Right.
I feel like your significant other will probably click with maybe a few of your friends.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, I like being around them.
Yeah.
Let's hang with them.
Right.
Good. If they didn't like one of them, I would feel a little bit like, okay, I don't think in my life I have bad friends.
Yeah.
Right? All of our friends might have a quality or two that we're like, oh, that's how they are. This part annoys me a little. It's like being in a relationship, right? Yeah. You love a lot about them and you love more than you dislike.
Right.
But there's going to be something you dislike.
Right.
Right? So it would basically be very hard to mesh any type of groups if someone's like, I don't like any of them.
Yeah.
Same with family. It's like, all right, there's got to be one cousin you like. I have so many.
Yeah.
I'd like to think you would like one of them, you know, like, especially like I have so many around my age.
Yeah.
So that's the other part. It's like, man, if you don't like one person that's in our like 26, 27 to 35 age range, I'm like, there's a lot of cousins to pick from. Okay.
And spouses. Like, come on.
Right.
Pick one.
You could pick another outsider. Pick one of the non-Italians. Maybe you'll like one of those, you know? Like, it
make
just,
a little group and make your own.
Because it's like, we all have people, you know, within our own family that also annoy us.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, we don't clip with very well.
Sure do.
Sorry. Maybe not annoy is the word, but you're not close with anymore. We'll
you're
just
not
say
vibing.
That. Yeah, not 100% vibing. I don't know. How would you answer that question?
I think I would really have to, like, I mean, if they didn't like any of my friends, like, yeah, that's an issue. But I would also really then start to question, like, then what do you like about me? Because I think my really close friends who currently right now that I spend a lot of time with, I have a lot of similarities with them,
right.
You know, and like the things that are important of, like, we're all very driven. Like, I think a lot of us also have a very shared sense of humor and, like, interests. So it's like, okay, those are some pretty, like, big things in any relationship. So it's like,
Your closest friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, if you don't like these people, then you probably hate me.
Or what's that saying? Look at the company they keep.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually probably a good look into the person you're dating as well.
Oh, for sure.
Like, especially, like, have you ever been, like, kind of starting to see someone, but his two friends are huge fuckboys?
Yep.
And you're basically being like, so are they a fuckboy?
Yeah.
And you feel like they're not, but something's being like, but what would he be really having in common with these other two?
Yeah.
And then you're like, ah, turns out I was right. Like, that type of thing.
That happened with someone I was dating, like, the one of his, like, closest dudes. Like, I could just tell he was a snake, and I, like, knew stories about him, and, like, I just knew in my gut, and then, you know, TLDR, the relationship went sour pretty quick. But, like, I never called it out. I was like, I'll hang with him, but, like, in my head I knew. Because that was the other thing of, like, I don't know at what point I would verbalize that I didn't like a friend, because I think that's really, like, going out there. I feel like women will internalize it a bit more, whereas, like, I don't. Like,
my brother talked about this on the Patreon, didn't he?
Like,
not liking some of a person's friends.
Yeah.
But it's like, so basically being like, if it's going to be like them third wheeling with you, an easy solution is just going, oh, you guys just go have fun.
Yeah.
Just the two of you.
Yeah.
Because you're basically being like, I'm not going to be a big joy. And I think the same would be like, you know, if you didn't like their mom. And they were going to, like, get lunch with their mom, and you and the mom just don't really click.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you don't have to go to that lunch every time.
Right.
You can be like, no, you have some time with your mom.
The thing I like about that strategy, too, is, like, say you do that 5 times, three to five times. I think at some point, if the person is like paying attention to you and like your behavior
or inviting you,
yeah, they're gonna be like, there's gonna be something inside that they're do you not like so and so? And then it kind of, then that opens the door for the conversation, and then you're not like, oh my God, I hate Sabrina. You know, like, well, I don't want to go.
Well, it's a balance, right? Because we've also had people that they're always going with their significant other everywhere they go. And then that's almost a thing of like, you can't talk bad about me because I'm here.
Yeah.
So especially like if it's family.
Yeah.
That's something that is a little bit like, okay, yeah, if you're always around, they can't actually ask like my opinion of you.
Yeah.
Or open up to me about, like, if there was an issue between the two of you, and they're like, oh yeah, this is like really hard, I've been dealing with this, or like, it's almost like no ill can be spoken of you because you're always there listening.
Right.
So I think with every relationship, whether it's your friends or family, there's a balance of like bringing your significant other and not bringing them.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be the person that always brings them. Because sometimes it's like, hey, yeah, I kind of wanted to have girls' night.
Yeah.
And you're the one that's like, basically not doing girls' night.
Yeah. I think I've said this before, but my friends Chris and Allie have a really, really good balance of this, of like, at this point all of us girls are friends with Allie's boyfriend Chris, and they live together now too.
How long have they been dating, can I ask?
Close to 2 years.
Okay, yeah so more, makes sense. Yeah.
So like, it's also not like something new, and we had become, when we all like met Allie and became friends with her, she was starting to date him, so like we've really like not known her without him.
Right.
But she is really good of having the girl time, and then like sometimes Chris will come meet us after, or like when we're at their apartment, we'll like pregame, and then he doesn't go out, and then all the girls go to the bar, or like
that.
So it's like we still get the time with both of them, but then we also like get the girl time, and it's so nice of like hitting that balance, because like we do talk about things that like, you know, like I might say things to Allie as like a girlfriend that I might not to Chris as like a good guy.
Yeah, or you feel comfortable saying in front of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of like, I'm a pretty open person, so like I don't really care, but like there are other people in the room who might,
or it's like kind of assume, like especially when some two people are together a long time, it's like basically any of your information your friend knows, most likely their significant other knows.
Yeah.
And that doesn't bother me, but for some reason it's something of like telling both of them in the same room.
Yeah.
Is a little weird.
Yeah.
That's even like, I feel like with my parents.
Yeah.
It's like, I know if I tell you something, Dad's gonna know.
Right.
Like,
but it's just weird if like there's some things that like it's better for them to hear from the spouse and not from you.
Right. You know? It's like we talked about, like you give your parents like the PG version of something.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not giving you the whole story, I'm giving you enough.
Yeah.
I'm giving you enough info, you know what's going on, but you don't need every detail.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
The one part I think we didn't really touch on is he gets annoyed by any man who pays too much attention to you.
Oh yeah.
Which is such a, like, especially in a scenario of, like, bartender, it's like, they work for tips.
Yeah.
Like, they're probably this flirty with everybody else.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind
it's
of
an insecurity.
What's weird, right? Because jealousy is a balance.
Yeah.
There's part of you being like, you should be a little bit jealous of me getting attention from another person.
Yeah.
Of, like, it's kind of that, like, claiming. Mm-hmm. Of, like, hey, this is my girl, I don't want anybody taking her.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's a little bit of a, like, I don't know. Some people find it like it is attractive to feel like other people want your person.
Yeah.
But I think it's like, how do they handle that jealousy?
I think there's only grounds for them to like get, I don't even know that upset is the right word, but like, I guess even like vocalize their jealousy if like I was to flirt back or like, you know, engage with it. But like, I can't control what someone else does. Like, even like if say you're at a party and like someone comes up to you and like hits on you and your response is, you know what, like I'm actually seeing someone, like thank you so much, because like that happens in public sometimes. I'm like, especially when you don't know people, and it's like,
yeah, I got to do that one time with Eggs Benedict.
Nice. One I've never done that. Like, you can't control that reaction, but you can control the way you handle it. I don't think someone has grounds to be upset at all. If anything, it's like, you should be happy I look good and people like want what you got.
Right. It's a weird balance.
Yeah.
Because I think it's like, what does it say? Angry.
Yeah.
He gets angry if you don't tell him and everything or include him or anything. I think it's like, I think this is kind of a beware of like super controlling.
Yeah. That's what I was
saying. And isolating you from people.
Yes.
In a way.
Yeah.
I think it's basically, I think it's that. And there's something to being like, if you love me and care about me, then you should care about the people I care about.
Yeah.
Like, you should understand why I care for them and be on board with caring for them. Specifically, I mean, especially family.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, of course I care about my mom, and you shouldn't be mad if I, like, was talking on the phone with my mom instead of talking to you one night or something. Like,
right.
I'm trying to think of, like, a very basic example, but it's kind of this thing of, like, yeah, like you said, those relationships were there before you, and they would be there after you.
Yeah.
So why would I burn that to the ground?
Right.
I think that's a big thing. I know someone that basically called off a wedding because of that. Basically, was like, really? You don't care about the things and people I care about.
Wow.
That's not going to change, because the beginning of this chapter basically is like, how they are is how they are, and that's not going to change.
Yeah.
So basically, it's like, you know, especially if they're a wet blanket and never want to come to a family thing, are you okay going to all that stuff by yourself and not bringing them?
Right.
And, or, you know, basically the battle of, like, in-laws versus the person you're dating. Often they do not get along or don't like each other, and it's basically like, you're sitting there going, am I going to fight this battle my whole life?
Right.
Do I really want to do that?
Right.
Like, am I that down with this person?
I mean, God, like, what would you, like, I just.
You can't really imagine it, right?
No.
I've never had that. I've never been dating someone, my family meets them, and they, like, hate them.
Well, we
also
have.
So I can't imagine what that would be like.
We have very, like, accepting parents who trust us and
we'd
the
like
decisions
to think.
We make.
Yeah, you know.
You know, like, I think they trust that we're not going to bring home, like, a piece of shit.
Right.
You know, and. Just like, what would you do though if, like, you didn't like whoever you were dating's family or parents? Specifically, I think moms and sisters would be hard.
Yeah, sister,
like,
I mean,
I want an orphan with no siblings.
That's the hardest to win over is the mother being a woman.
Yeah,
because
I think
it's like you're
worse.
The mom and we're the taking care of them, and you're looking at me like you can't take care of my son as good as I could.
I think sisters are vicious bitches.
That too, but it also comes from a protective place. Like with my brother, it's the same thing of like, you're a smart man, like everything you do is ultimately your decision, like if you want my opinion just ask for it, but there's something to, like, it's that protectiveness of like, I want what's best for my brother, he's my brother.
Yeah,
like the same way I would, you know, like fast forward to like if one of our parents were widows and then they start dating, you're kind of being like, hey, are you really gonna like take care and really love, you know, my parent the way I do?
Yeah,
in a way. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's hard to imagine. I've never been in the scenario that, like, those people don't get along or don't like each other.
Yeah. Well, like, so. I've never met a significant other's family. It's like,
right. You don't know.
Yeah.
I've never been on the other end of, like, the mom hates me.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I can do about it.
Right.
And then but same thing. I think I would just sit there and be like, well, are you ready to have every dinner with that family be like how it just was or whatever, you know?
And like, it's like, is there something we can do about this?
Because
sometimes there are some people who like just don't want resolution in relationships, and like there's nothing you can change about those people. It's like, okay, like, do you just want to accept like this is how this is?
Mm-hmm.
And when we have a kid, it's going to be a lot harder, you know.
True. There's going to be more sharing of family time with both families, you would like to think.
Nana coming over is really going to suck.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the other flip is like, how often do you see that family?
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So they don't live around where you live, and it's like, all right, I got to do 2 holidays a year with this family. That's easier to be like, yep, okay.
Yeah, like whatever.
I can put up with this 2 times a year.
But
like,
if they live
fine.
In the same town.
And they want to have dinner every week.
Yeah,
or something,
like, God,
or even
now.
Let's say like once a month they try to
that's
get together, and you hate being there.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot. But it's like, I guess essentially, it's like, how much do you love this person,
right?
And want it to work for this person,
right?
Because that's kind of if that we just talked about, like if we're the one they hate, and I guess if it was vice versa,
yeah,
maybe not hate, but just
dislike.
They didn't get along or whatever it is. We brought up like political affiliation on the Patreon of like. Someone that maybe would like constantly start political arguments is like, oh my God, do you want to sit at that dinner all the time? I don't.
No.
You know,
right.
I feel like, wow, can we just agree to disagree? My God. Like,
Everyone's
still a person here, you know?
Right.
I don't know. Right into the pod if you've had to go through that. I feel like a lot of people do.
I think a lot of like the in-law thing would depend on how your partner, like where they fell in it. Like if
also
they were,
if they back you.
Yeah. That's what I was gonna say of like, if they are
good
just,
point.
It's okay. Say it's with the mom. I've dated some mama's boys in my life. Like
most boys are mama's boys.
Yeah. And, but you can like tell the ones that are like really mama's boys and like, they're going to side with their mother every time. And it's like, oh, okay, well,
ooh, Or it's the actually, I think that's part of the, there's a chapter of this book we should get to.
Yeah.
About basically like, if they're always going to choose their mom over you, kind of thing. Which, you know, part of you is like, I mean, I guess that's sweet, but like, if I'm going to be the woman in your life, we're a team.
Yeah.
Like, we're a unit.
Yeah, like, you're not 18 anymore. Like, I'm helping pay your bills now, not your mom.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what advice I would tell people. Yeah. I'm the type to be like, I would confront it head on if it hit a point.
Yeah.
Like, same. I would basically be like, I would tell my significant other, like, me and you are going to sit down with your mother and your father.
Yeah.
If it's specifically them.
Yeah.
Or if it was a sister, it would be the sister. Yeah. Right. But I would be like, we're going to sit down and talk this out.
Yeah.
That I would be like, I love your son. I do whatever I can to care for him and stuff. Like, I basically would go in kind of confident, being like, I'm a good wife or whatever. I'm a good girlfriend, whatever stage you are, fiance. Yeah. But basically, it would be like, especially if it's going towards like, we are most likely getting married.
Yeah.
So how can we make this great for everybody?
Yeah.
And I would even straight up be like, you don't have to love me. You don't have to call me your daughter. Whatever. I'm not going to force myself into your life.
Yeah.
I'll be like, but I'm also not going to sit through these constant family gatherings being treated the way I've been being treated.
Well, yeah. I think, too, those conversations can be a lot more productive when you come at it of like a resolution-oriented mindset of like, not just like, I do this, I do that, you do this, you do that. It's like, what can I do better, or like, where do you see this improving? Because instead, it's not just like focusing on kind of like that catty bullshit of like, I don't like you, you don't like me. Like, that's evident. So walk in of like, okay, like, I really love this person. Our families are about to be probably together.
Yeah.
How?
Especially if, are we planning kids? There's about to be grandkids, and I don't want to feel unwanted bringing my grandkids here to see the grandma.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Like, just don't go in heated. Just start it resolution oriented.
Yeah. Maybe actually I probably would start with, is there something I do or say that bothers you? Or said in the past that, you know, there's some type of grudge to me, especially if you don't know.
Yeah.
Because they might be like, you know what, you made this comment one time and it really bothered me. And I'd be like, well, you didn't tell me, you didn't tell your son. Yeah. How was I supposed to know? And I can apologize and try to like move on from there.
Right.
If that was the case.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of times with that, it's like, a lot of times there isn't a direct reason.
Yeah.
But basically being like, I am just trying to be pleasant and have this be a good time.
Yeah.
But
sometimes in those conversations, I feel like if you just like take a little bit of a bullet and like a step back of like almost like saying you, not like saying you did something wrong, but like giving them an opportunity to be like, this is what bothers me.
Yeah, something.
Then sometimes you find out like, oh, like you really did nothing. It's like, then what's the issue? Yeah.
You really don't have a reason, lady.
Yeah, so like when you put someone on the spot.
I'm assuming it's the mom. Yeah, but you know, it could be the dad. Yeah, it could be the dad. Especially if you come in going, I'm not trying to ruin the relationship between you and your son.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, I'd be like, I like that you and your son are tight if that's the deal.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, why do you think I like him? I'm close with my family too.
Right.
You know what I mean? And even then, if it was like, he got along with my family fine, I'd be like, it breaks my heart that we aren't getting along.
Right.
Because it's our families.
Right.
Like, I see you as part of our family and I don't want to like shut you out from our life, but you're making it difficult.
We just went on such a tangent. We are ready for the mama conversation. Yeah, now I'm ready. Just got to get the boyfriends.
I hope you're ready.
Start a fight.
I know, we didn't even go over the solution yet. We're like, we know.
Yeah, we got it.
We know.
It. Yeah.
We're experts.
We already got the conversation outlined.
Yeah, even though we've never met a family. We're ready.
We're ready for them not to like us.
Ready. All right. So the solution. Of buyer beware. While it's flattering to be the center of a man's attention as opposed to being ignored, know that you might have fights about his level of involvement in your day-to-day activities. Well, we took that scenario a lot farther.
His mom's gonna hate you.
Oh, turns out it's just involvement of day-to-day activities. My bad. We were prepping for mother-in-laws like you wouldn't believe. Whoops. Ah, shit. All right. Well. Oh, damn. All right. Well, ooh, I'm like also jacked on energy.
I am so pumped.
I imagined a confrontation in my head, and I could go run 5 miles right now.
Like, I'm ready for my run.
Realistically, 1 mile, but you know what I mean.
I'm going to put on some Eminem and be like, one shot, one opportunity. I'm going to fix your mama.
Where's my snare?
Where's the spaghetti?
Man, wow, we took that real deep level. You know what? All the other dilemmas seem to be like more serious than that one, and that was, we were ready.
You're just not gonna wanna, you know, be involved in your activities. Yeah.
I guess this is more basic level of like when you say like, gym is me time, I don't want you in my me time.
Yeah.
This is basically what that was saying. All right, well,
interesting. Wow.
Write in your dilemmas. Maybe you have more serious dilemmas than this book. Maybe we answered it for you on this episode. But I would be very interested to hear. I feel like every, especially like anyone that's married or at that like serious stage of the relationship, I feel like everyone has a like in-law or sister-in-law or brother-in-law or father-in-law story that I would love to hear them. So email those in, shootersgottashootpod@gmail.com, or you could DM us on the Instagram. But there's definitely some hot ones.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is our episode for this week. You can follow us at shootersgottashootpod on Instagram, and I'll say the email again, shootersgottashootpod@gmail.com. And I'm at Sperica.
And I'm at The Guacamole.
And this has been
The Kitties Titties.
Have a good night. Bye.